thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
So the Bible reading tonight is coming from Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 3. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear.
Would you join with me in praying as I begin? Because clearly I need it right now. Father God, thank you that you are with me and you are with us. And Father, I pray this evening as we take some time to explore what you're inviting us into, that we would be willing to go with you. Father, I pray by your Spirit that you would energize and excite us, that you'd soften our hearts, that you would move us from being people who just hear things and let them fall out of our brains into being people who hear things and going, Lord, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to walk into. Father, I pray we'd be people who receive your invitation. Thank you that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. As Matt said, we have been looking at our focus series, which is our theme series for the year. And we've been exploring our five strategic priorities, the things that we believe God is calling us to help shape who we are as a community, the things that we believe God is specifically calling us to pay attention to at this time. And we started off by looking at discipleship, and I'll just give you a kind of bit of a rundown of what we've looked at really quickly. Discipleship, where our intention is to nurture followers of Jesus who are active participants in God's mission. In week two, we looked at leadership development, where our intention is to develop and release leaders into the mission God is calling them to. And last week, Jodine helped us explore our strategic priority of cultural diversity, where our intention is to be a community of faith for our local community. And before next week, where we are going to be looking at kind of kids, youth, and families, and exploring that as a strategic priority, we are looking today at evangelism. But specifically, we are looking at how evangelism aligns with our purpose as a church. And our purpose is to be a community of faith that participate with God in his grand plan to renew and restore all things in Christ Jesus, and specifically through evangelism. Now, I'm not quite sure what comes to mind for you when we talk about evangelism. It's a pretty Christian word, isn't it? And we don't tend to talk about evangelism very much in the context of our day-to-day lives, unless, perhaps jokingly, you are describing yourself as an evangelist for a new phone that you've got, or an excellent new app for organizing some part of your life. But for many of us, I think that evangelism feels like this kind of binary term. It's either on or it's off. It's something we've either done or it's something that we haven't. A task that followers of Jesus must engage in. A line, perhaps, that we've got to get people over. A specific type of chat. But what if this kind of thinking about evangelism is not right? What if evangelism is far more broad than we have previously been thinking about? Throughout our Follow Me series that we were kind of exploring in February, we were looking at Matthew's gospel. We began to see a pattern emerge that Jesus first invited people to follow him before anything else. Jesus invited people to follow him first without making any demands about behavioral change or prerequisites for minimum knowledge requirement. He didn't even ask for people to have belief or faith. He just said, come and follow me. Now, almost inevitably, as people were following Jesus, learning life from him, walking out this life with him, they came to a point where actually they had to make a decision about all that they'd been exposed to, all of the claims that Jesus had made about himself. But do you know what I think the most significant thing about this decision space is? Is that Jesus invited the disciples into a life, into an environment, into a situation where that decision was kind of a natural occurrence. That was naturally the space that they were going to step into. Jesus perhaps cultivated space for faith to grow in the lives of the disciples. And I think it's something like this. When we allow someone to teach us a musical instrument, when we accept their invitation to learn this musical instrument from them, we are stepping into a new reality. We are invited by them to participate in a new reality that they already know and understand. And far more than just learning a particular musical instrument, a good teacher is cultivating space for something far greater to grow. A good teacher is cultivating space for musicianship to grow, for us to become musicians like the teacher. The disciples were invited into life following Jesus to learn this life from him. Jesus invited the disciples into relationship with him. And to face extraordinary situations like walking on water, feeding of thousands of people, and simply, but no less extraordinarily, to see and experience Jesus answering the prayers of people around him. And in this relational yet stretching space, clearly it was life-changing. Over time, faith grew. And the disciples, and I think this is really significant, the disciples grew to look more like Jesus. In Matthew 4, verse 19, Jesus' first words to his disciples are, "Come and follow me. Come and follow me." And in Matthew 28, verse 19, the beginning of his final words to the disciples are, "Go and make disciples." And in between, we see this kind of journey, this continuum, a journey through evangelism into discipleship. But everyone that Jesus met was somewhere in this spectrum, somewhere along this continuum, somewhere along this journey between considering and perhaps and often even resisting Jesus' invitation to come and follow. Maybe they were in this space of accepting it, kind of going, "Oh, okay, I'm beginning to get it." Growing as a student, a disciple, a follower, and then eventually stepping into and receiving Jesus' invitation into his mission, this grand plan to renew and restore all things in Christ Jesus. And this is true for our friends and our colleagues, those that we're at school with, those we're at uni with, those that we work with, those perhaps in our family, maybe even those who are sitting next to us in church this evening. We all know people who are somewhere along this continuum, somewhere along this spectrum, this journey following Jesus. Have a moment to think about the people that you know. Where are they at on this journey? Where are they at? Are they resisting? Are they beginning to accept things? Are they trying to work this out, walk it out? But we're here too, aren't we? We're here in this space, on this journey, trying to work out our position on this continuum, trying to work out where it is that we're at in our journey following Jesus. And it's not always linear, is it? Sometimes learning is very much two steps forward and then one back and then two more forward. Because the message of Matthew's gospel is not just for the disciples. It's not just a story about a journey that some other people went on. This is a story that we're invited into. This is something that we are encouraged to become a part of. We are continually. And if I can say anything strongly this evening, please hear this. We are continually invited to follow Jesus. At whatever stage we are at on this journey, we are continually being invited by him into the next step, to keep growing, to keep walking with him. And at some point, we get to a point of deciding whether or not we are going to participate with him in his grand plan to renew and restore all things. And let me tell you, this is the most exciting way we can live. Part of this plan involves extending the invitation to follow Jesus to other people, to those around us. Because our experience of new life in Jesus is designed to become an invitation to other people to come and join in this journey following Jesus, this invitation into life. We are designed to become a Jesus-modified super virus to infect the world in the best possible way. Our intention for evangelism here at GBC is to cultivate space for faith in Jesus to grow. To cultivate space for faith in Jesus to grow. Now, cultivation is a really intentional word. We are still trying to work out the language, I guess, around our strategic priorities. There's going to be some changes as we tweak things and help things become more easily remembered. But the word cultivation was a word that we really settled on as kind of, yeah, that really summed up what we were trying to say here. And the reason why I think that is because cultivation, in a gardening sense, is about lovingly creating the best conditions for life to grow, lovingly creating the best conditions for things to flourish. And I believe that cultivation is absolutely one of the key implications that come out of this parable that we've had read for us this evening. This is a pretty familiar story for us. You have probably, if you've been in church for a while, you've probably heard sermons preached on the parable of the sower. And that's how it's been framed up for you. This is the parable of the sower. If you look at your Bibles, you will probably see a title that says, "This is the parable of the sower." But I'm happy to announce that those titles weren't originally there within the text. Many of us have been taught that whilst Jesus is the farmer in this story, that ultimately we are invited to take on the role of the farmer, the sower, and to sow the seeds of the gospel far and wide, to tell people the gospel, perhaps even indiscriminately, as this farmer seems to demonstrate, just casting seeds everywhere. But I think this parable would be far more helpfully titled, "The Parable of the Soils." Because I think that Jesus is actually trying to draw our attention to the soils within this story. Now, I'm not saying that speaking out the good news of Jesus' invitation into life is not important. Clearly, Jesus, throughout the rest of the Gospels, shows us that he was a big fan of verbal communication. But I believe that Jesus' plan for us is far more holistic, far more nuanced, and that it is going to demand far more from us than simply telling people that there are two ways to live. In this parable, Jesus is making a statement about an extraordinary kingdom reality. And firstly, we take note that Jesus is generous with his invitation. He is casting seed on ground that we might consider to be rocky, ground that we might pass by. But then Jesus draws our attention to specifically look at the soils, the conditions of the hearts into which this invitation is going to land. Some of the soils are hearts that are hard, that will see this invitation from Jesus, stolen away by the enemy, before it has a chance to grow down roots and become something. We see the soils that are rocky, or perhaps it would be more helpfully translated for us now, busy, that prevent this invitation from bedding down deep and providing an anchor in the storms that can erode faith. Well, there are hearts that are full of thorns, where the apparent securities of this world, like money and sex and power, squeeze out Jesus' invitation into life. But Jesus also draws attention to the conditions in which this invitation is going to take root, good soil, the conditions where faith is going to grow, those whose hearts have been prepared and readied and cultivated for faith in Jesus to grow. Jesus is inviting the hearers of this story, and ultimately us, to recognize the conditions of our hearts and to ask ourselves the question, are we receptive to this invitation into life? Are we good soil? Are we receptive to what Jesus is inviting us into? Because hearts that are lovingly cultivated for faith to grow, grow to look more like Jesus. And as we grow more like Jesus, we take up Jesus' mission to go and invite others into this life by the very shape of who we have become. Because far more than just an announcement to people that you're heading in the wrong direction, we are a friend that comes alongside and says, come on, come with me. I know the way. And it's lives like this that will yield a crop 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. During my gap year after school and before university, I worked in a large newsagent with a girl called Anna. And during my lunch break, I had the opportunity to chat with Anna about a whole bunch of things, including what I thought I was going to do with my life, which at that stage was to become a pastor. I never told Anna the gospel. I simply told her that I believed that God had called me into a life to become a pastor at some point in the future. 5 years later, and I had had no contact with Anna, and I don't even know how she got my email, Anna emailed me to say that that weekend she had been invited by a friend to church, and she had just given her life to Jesus. And very graciously, she added a comment at the end of this email that said that our chats in the staff room about my commitment to walk out what I believe God was calling me into, my excitement about this life following Jesus, had encouraged her to begin to think about faith. When we accept this invitation into new life with Jesus, when we accept the invitation to participate with him in his grand plan to renew and restore all things, we are invited to observe the condition of the soil around us, to observe the condition of hearts around us, lives, our friends' lives. And for these people, Jesus' invitation to us is to cultivate space for faith to grow. But because people are going to be at various stages along this journey between come and follow me and go and make disciples, the spaces that we cultivate for faith to grow are going to need to look many and varied. They're going to need to look different. Jodine, with her evangelism hat on, has put a lot of work into beginning to help define some stages for this early part of the journey, this kind of space that we're calling the evangelism space, specifically for people in the world around us right now, our friends, those who aren't yet followers of Jesus, where they're at, just examining and exploring kind of the stages that many people are at. And we're going to need to keep exploring what these stages look like. We're working out the definitions of those, and we're also working out the implications of them for us as we kind of outwork this in our church life. But as a start, to kind of let you in on our thinking of where we're beginning to explore in this space, here's a kind of brief outline of that. For many people we know and meet, life circumstances, and some of those circumstances have been caused by us, the church, have hearts that are so hardened to Jesus' invitation, they have no trust for Christians. They do not trust what Christians say. They will not hear anything that we say. And for them, the first step may be a movement from distrust to trust. And for us, commitments to things like creating safe spaces, making sure that the space we invite people into is the safest place for vulnerable people to come, that we are genuinely a refuge for people who are at the end of their rope. Our commitment to engage in great and honorable practices like ethical consumerism and to stand against the blight in our society that is domestic violence, these may be the essential work of cultivating space for faith to grow in the stage of life of people who have no trust of the church. Some, however, have never even considered Jesus' invitation. They just never really thought about it. The soil is rocky, perhaps full of other things. For them, their first step might be this movement from complacent to curious. And I think that Anna, when I met her all those years ago in this newsagent, was somewhere in this space. And for us, living our faith out loud, our commitment to loving and serving these people could be the work of cultivating space for faith to grow in the lives of people who are at this point in their journey. Others have heard something of Jesus' invitation, but aren't yet ready to act upon that. The thorns might be holding them back from stepping into this. For these people, the first step might be moving from being closed to change to being open to change. And for us, I think, may I suggest, that listening to these people, taking time just to listen to where these people are at, sharing stories of the work that God is doing in our lives, as Vicky has beautifully illustrated for us this evening. This might be the essential work of cultivating space for faith in Jesus to grow for people at this stage. And the last stage of what we're roughly defining as this kind of evangelism space is that some have decided that, yeah, they're open to change. And that, in fact, the soil has been pretty well cultivated. But they don't know how to engage with what it is that they've learned, what they've heard, what they're beginning to experience. For them, the step that they might be taking is a movement from meandering into seeking Jesus. And for us in this space, invitations to church, to life group, to evangelistic courses like Alpha, these might be the essential space, the essential work of cultivating space for faith to grow in the lives of people who find themselves in this stage. So there we go. And we're making a commitment to this at GBC. We're making a commitment to working out what it looks like for us to engage in evangelism in a way that will see lives changed by Jesus. And we are all invited to get involved. At some point in our journey following Jesus, that invitation to go and make disciples is going to come to us. And we can't outsource this process to Jodine, as gifted as she is, or to anyone else who we think is more evangelistically gifted than we are, because we are all invited to participate in this. And so it is with all of our strategic priorities. We've developed three behaviors that we hope will help us to engage in a practical and realistic and real way with this intention to cultivate space for faith in Jesus to grow. And based upon all of the things that we've explored already this evening, I hope that these won't come as too much of a surprise for you. So the first of these behaviors is that we will have a flexible and relational pathway for nurturing followers of Jesus in place. This is the exploration of the steps, the stages that I have just talked about. Working out what that looks like for us, the implications for us as a church. Secondly, we will have a strong and growing culture of testimony to the work of Jesus. We have taken time to do that this evening, as Vicky came and shared a story of where Jesus is at work in her, encouraging her into the next step of faith. We share what Jesus is doing in our lives so that when we talk with other Christians about that, it becomes a bit more normal, that even speaking out the name of Jesus becomes a bit less weird for us, and that we engage in that kind of chat here, so that when we go out into the world, it's natural for us just to blurt out at the beginning of a business meeting, "Hey, do you mind if I just pray?" I heard a story of a business guy who was in a big electronics firm. He started a corporate board meeting with prayer because that's what he does in church, and he suddenly realized as he'd looked down, "Oh no, I'm at work, not at church." But he was like, "I'm going with this." And so he prayed for what they were going to look at. And everyone at the end said, "Amen." And they carried on. When we begin to talk about these sorts of things, when we begin to chat about them with people who we know love Jesus, then we are more likely to talk about these things with people who don't yet. It becomes a natural part of our speech. Thirdly, we will be more culturally engaged, thinking and acting theologically in the public square. For us, I think that a lot of the work in this space is our work to help people move from a place of distrust to trust. And we have got a big work to do in this space. There are a number of people who are really angry at the church, and I think rightly so. Their trust has been let down by some appalling behavior by Christians. And we are not called to be defensive about that. We are called to say, "I'm really sorry that that's what's happened to you. How can we help make it better?" Jesus invites us into a life following him. This is not a task that Jesus thought, "Right, got to get that done." Jesus didn't look at us and go, "I'm waiting for you to cross the line." He invited us into a relationship with him. He invited us to learn life from him, to experience not just the right or the wrong way to live, but the best way to live. And I genuinely believe this is the best way to live, following Jesus. And in turn, evangelism is not just a task for us to carry out. We're not charged here. We're not going to take a record of the number of people you've got across the line, because that's totally not the point. We are invited, as our lives are shaped and nurtured and cultivated to become more like Jesus, to invite others to follow Jesus. By the very shape of who we are, we are invited by Jesus to cultivate space for faith to grow in the lives of people at whatever stage they are at on this journey. I'm going to invite Matt and the musicians to join me back on the platform now. And we've come to the point in our service where we're going to take some time to respond. And as we've been doing over the last few weeks, if you've been away on school holiday things, what we've been trying to do is help take intentional first steps in our response to kind of bed down some of what we've been thinking about here tonight into our lives, that it might become actual change, that it might become something that we live out, a practice that actually sees change in our lives. There will be an opportunity to pray with our prayer team about anything. They'll be here down at the front during these final songs, and there'll also be an opportunity for us to sing. But we also want to take time to specifically engage with what we believe God is inviting us into. And I'm going to ask Matt to lead us in that now. Thank you.
Coming out of the message today, and I think it's definitely important for us to all be reflecting on the kind of soil that we ourselves are planted in and what that means for the future growth of our own faith. And I encourage all of us at some point this week to find some time to really lean into the Spirit, to listen out for His whispers and seek to discern what that looks like for each and every one of us. But in this moment, I'd like us all to stand. Up you get. Because I think it's important for us to respond to the call that God has placed in each of our lives to participate in His grand plan to renew and restore all things. And one of the ways in which we can do this is by being a people who cultivate good soil and space for others to grow in their own personal faith. If you were here when we first built this building, before the carpet was laid, we came into this space and we wrote names of people who we were doing life with, who we felt God had placed in our lives, but did not yet know Jesus. And we were making a commitment for this space, for this place, to be one where faith would grow. And there are names of people who we were seeking to journey alongside so that they could know Jesus. And their names are literally the foundation in which we stand upon tonight as we worship. And so today I'd like for us to be challenged in a similar way. But rather than write a name down with the intent of someday cultivating good soil in their life, I think it is important for us all to take steps towards this purpose today, here and now. So as the team leads us in worship, I encourage all of us to think of one name, one person, one relationship that you feel God is calling you to be intentional with. And then as we worship, as that name is placed on your heart, as the Spirit speaks to you, get out your phone or your diary or your calendar, whatever works for you, and find a time to reach out to that person, to meet with them and actually make it happen. Not because it's about getting them over the line, because it's not, we've heard that. But it's about meeting people where they are at in their journey and inviting them to take the next step, whatever that may look like for them. I think it's important for us to be a people who respond and act out the love that God has shown us in our lives so that we can do that for others in their lives who have yet to know Him. Prayer team are going to come forward and they're going to be available to pray for you, whether it's around this time of response or anything that's going on for you. But let's spend some time together worshiping God and listening to Him and who He has placed in our path for us to walk alongside.